You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 7th of April 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, poor old Boris Johnson, eh? I wonder what the conspiracy theorists will have to say about that. He's not that old. He's healthy. He's fit. He exercises. And yet he's in the intensive care. I mean, whatever you think about his policies, he is a likeable chap. I do hope he manages to pull through. I should imagine he's pretty angry at the Chinese and pretty angry at the World Health Organization right now and wishing that he had closed the borders way back when he was first told about this. Well, I'll get more into the coronavirus news later on. I really want to begin with a circular that's been sent out by Richard Edmonds because it's very, very well written. And it's to do with the Holocaust Day that we had earlier this year. He writes, "What were these august personages? US Vice President Michael Richard Pence, Russian President Vladimir Putin, Prince Charles of England, French President Emmanuel Macron, German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, doing in Jerusalem on the 27th of January of this year. They were commemorating Holocaust Day, the anniversary of the Soviet Red Army's capture in 1945 of the German work camp located at Auschwitz, a town in present-day Poland. These representatives of powerful states, presidents, prime ministers, and a prince, all lined up with kippahs on their Gentile heads, shamelessly to pay public homage to an historic lie, the blood libel against the honour of the German people, the Kabbalistic fantasy of the magic 6 million number, an historic unprecedented lie which any informed person would describe as the hoax of the 20th century, as Professor Arthur Butz once did. The key question is, why did these powerful politicians of the world's major states line up in Israel to kowtow to the obvious fraud of the Holocaust? Answer, because they are all guilty men. The US Vice President, the Russian President, the French President and the British Prince are the current representatives and standard bearers of the politicians who in the years before the outbreak of the Second World War contrived, manoeuvred, cajoled, blackmailed, bribed, threatened, employed every underhand trick known to Machiavelli and more in order to bring about the Second World War. We know now that Churchill and Franklin Delano Roosevelt schemed and plotted for the war. We know now that at the very time that Roosevelt was seeking his re-election in the autumn of 1940, and he was telling American mothers, "Your sons will not be sent to fight in foreign wars," FDR was in secret communication with his pal Churchill in the UK. "Don't worry, Winnie, I'll soon be with you in the fight," he said. Meanwhile, the bloody Bolshevik baboon ensconced in the Kremlin, Joseph Stalin — this was Churchill's description of the Soviet leader at an earlier stage of the war — Stalin, the cold-blooded butcher of the Polish officers at Kachin, saw the coming war as his chance to advance Bolshevik communism into Europe and across the world. France, of course, was dragged into the war by Britain's Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain. These men launched the most bloody and destructive war in European history. They launched a war against Germany, which became a war against the whole of Europe, and is now a war waged against the white man, his family, and his civilization. And anybody who questions the war, the why, and the how will be subjected to the treatment suffered recently by an unfortunate school principal in the USA. Quote, "A mere oblique question about the validity of the Holocaust, such as that raised by Florida school principal William Latson in 2018, could lose a person his job, income, family, house, freedom, as in Alfred and Monica Schaefer's case, and sanity, perhaps even his life. We are ruled by an historic, obscene, and obvious propaganda lie invented by the criminally minded and murderous predecessors of the politicians named above. How to deal with this lie is obvious. One stands in the public arena and denounces it as such. And then these pathetic personages, Pence, Putin, Macron, Prince Charles, etc., can in their turn slink away with their tails between their legs. Tell the truth and shame the devil," quoting Gerard Menuhin. And to quote Jesus Christ, "The truth will set you free." From St. John chapter 8, verse 32. The truth will indeed set you free, but the truth does hurt. And it's a very difficult truth for people to accept, the Holocaust, because it is so central to everything that we see on the television, everything that we see in the movies. It's brought up all the time. It's drilled into children's heads at school. And the reason why they have to do that so much is because it is just so illogical. And right from start to finish, it is illogical. If you were in the middle of the war, would you really engage in a killing program and kill off all your workers that you needed? Don't forget, these people were in work camps, surrounded by work machinery that needed to be operated for the war effort. Would you, if you were to engage in a killing operation, would you use effectively bug spray to do this? Would you make holes in the roof and then drop pellets of this bug spray through the holes in the roof that was supposedly going to kill these people? Don't forget this cyanide that we're told it was a gas. It was actually pellets that was used that needed to be heated up. You couldn't just drop pellets through holes in a roof and kill thousands of people in a room with a wooden door. And just look at the problems that Italy is having with cremating the bodies from coronavirus. And then think, well, how did the Germans manage to cremate 6 million bodies just within a few months in the war? None of the story makes sense. And if you look into it, you will see that there are people that have investigated it. They have taken samples of the walls of the room that is supposed to be the gas chamber in Auschwitz, and discovered that it doesn't have trace or just the normal amount of cyanide you'd expect from the air within it. And yet if you go to the delousing chamber, which is where the cyanide was actually used, that the walls of that is blue with cyanide, because the cyanide was used to keep the inmates of the work camps, to keep them alive. When people turned up there, they had their heads shaved to prevent them from bringing lice into the work camp, because it was the lice that spread the typhus. They had their clothes taken from them, and they were burnt because they might well have had lice as well, and they were handed new clothes and new boots. And then the clothes that they were using while they were working, they were put through this delousing chamber. That's what the cyanide was used for. And this lie that they came up with at the end of the war, it was basically to excuse the catastrophic damage that it had caused, throughout Europe. As Richard Edmonds says here, it turned into a war against Europe. It wasn't a war against Germany, because Germany had occupied the countries that Germany needed to. Adolf Hitler had sent over 20 calls to make peace, which Churchill ignored. And they destroyed half of Europe. And for what reason at the end of it? Because Hitler went into Poland to rescue the Germans from Danzig? I mean, that was just a border dispute. They couldn't allow that to happen. So what they did, they encouraged the belief in this propaganda lie, and they tortured members of the National Socialists and got them to sign false confessions. And they used supposed eyewitnesses who told stories that are completely unbelievable. And the ones that were still alive that turned up in court to Ernst Zundel's trial in Canada, these eyewitnesses, they were shown to be lying. And of course, it was after this war that the immigration started. And everything that Adolf Hitler predicted would happen if he lost this war has happened. And this is why it's important to expose this hoax. Because every time you talk about nationalism, you will get the accusation of, oh yes, but it leads to 6 million dead Jews. And it didn't lead to 6 million dead Jews. What it led to is Germans being accused of this. And it's an injustice. It's possibly the biggest injustice in the world is this false accusation against the Germans that they committed this horrendous act against the Jews when they didn't. And once you understand that, then you understand a lot more about the world. And you certainly feel free to be a nationalist. As Christ himself said, the truth will set you free. Anyway, let's get into some of this corona news, because there's been an interesting development that the actual virus itself, the disease, could actually be closer to altitude sickness than pneumonia. It may actually be that people's hemoglobin isn't functioning properly and it's not able to transport the oxygen around. It's not that when people are breathing in, they're not able to get enough air into their lungs, so the blood hasn't got enough oxygen in it. It could be that the blood hasn't got enough oxygen in it, which is causing the immune system to react against it, which causes the organs to shut down. In which case, blood transfusions may be a big help. And I've heard this suggested by a few doctors. And we'll just have to see what happens there, because, I mean, they could be chasing the wrong thing, basically. I mean, the virus is there, but when they're trying to halt the symptoms of it, they may be going about it the wrong way. Now, a few weeks back, I did a podcast with Grandpa Lampshade, where we talked about the Director General of the World Health Organization and the Surgeon General of the United States, both of whom are black. And we pointed out the fact that these people were in their positions in order to tick the diversity boxes. They're basically diversity hires. If you wanted to pick the person with the best qualifications, the most intelligent, the most suited to actually lead a World Health Organization, then you would end up with a white man, because simply because white men have such a higher IQ. So instead of picking somebody who was going to be the most competent, the most qualified, the most capable to lead these positions, they ended up picking somebody who basically his only qualification for leading the World Health Organization is that he rearranged the medical services in Ethiopia so that they could employ more nurses. And apparently that led to a much lower death rate among births. And that is just common sense. If you have more doctors and more nurses, then they're going to be, this health is going to improve, isn't it? Because they're going to be able to see more people. And on top of that, Dr. Tedros also got brownie points because most of the extra people that he employed were women, of course, and the New World Order loves that. They do like to take mothers away from looking after their children. So those were his qualifications for leading the World Health Organization. Now, all nationalists could look at that and say, well, look, this is not a good idea. You've put somebody in there who is obviously not going to be the best person for his job just because of the level of intelligence that he has. And of course, now we are really starting to feel the effects of this ill-judged appointment of Dr. Tedros to head of the World Health Organization. The Director General of the World Health Organization is facing calls to resign over criticisms of the way China's response to the coronavirus crisis was managed. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is facing growing calls to step down from US politicians for trusting the communist regime's official reporting about the extent of the spread of the disease. Republican Senator Martha McSally said Dr. Tedros should resign over the Chinese cover-up. She told Fox News that part of the blame for China's lack of transparency lay with the WHO Director General. McSally claimed that the Ethiopian 55 deceived the world and even praised China's transparency during its coronavirus response. But did he deceive the world? Or was this just incompetence? You would expect him to make mistakes. If you look at the average IQ of Ethiopia, you will find that the average IQ of Ethiopia is 61. And that's not getting that from some obscure far-right website. That's according to worlddata.info. That's the first website that comes up when you put into Google IQ by country. And according to assessmentspsychology.com, which again is the first website that comes up when you look up how they grade IQ in psychology, you discover that an IQ of 55 to 70 means mild mental retardation. And the average IQ of Ethiopia is 61. And 55 to 70 means mild mental retardation. And incidentally, an IQ of 71 to 84 means borderline intellectual functioning. So if we say that Dr. Tedros is in the top 5% of Ethiopians, then you could say that he's probably got an extra 15 points on that, possibly 20 points on that. Even if you say he's got an extra 20 points, he's in the top 1% of Ethiopians, then that still means that he's only got borderline intellectual functioning. So you wouldn't expect him to spot that China were fiddling the statistics with the number of deaths. And they're trying to blame Dr. Ted for this, but in actual fact, it's their system of promoting diversity as a strength which has caused this. Diversity is not a strength. You cannot have diversity and excellence both together. I don't think you can even have diversity and competence both together. They're mutually exclusive, as we see here. McSally added that she never trusted a communist and that the Chinese government's cover-up of this virus that originated with them has caused unnecessary deaths around America and around the world. I think Dr. Tedros needs to step down. Well, I think the people that picked Dr. Tedros, they are the ones that need to step down. The senator said Dr. Tedros deceived the world. At one point, he even praised China's transparency during its coronavirus response efforts, despite a mountain of evidence showing the regime concealed the severity of the outbreak. This deception cost lives. In February, when China reported 17,238 infections and 361 deaths, Tedros said there was no need to impose travel restrictions. He said measures that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade were not needed in trying to halt the spread of the virus. And was that his own interpretation, or had he been told to say that? Is Dr. Tedros being made the scapegoat for this? I think he's being made a scapegoat. Did he really have this much influence? Were they really that incompetent that they put this black guy in charge and then just left it to him to run the World Health Organization? Or had they put him there as, we'll just put him up front and we'll make him the spokesperson and we'll just get him to do what we tell him to? Because we know that the governments of the world did not want to impose travel restrictions. They saw that as being racist. Incidentally, actually, just to go back to the Boris Johnson story with him in hospital, on the 3rd of March, Boris Johnson went around a hospital filled with COVID-19 patients and then proudly told the assembled press that he had shaken hands with them. Obviously to show that he was not racist. I mean, this was around the time we had Italian politicians encouraging Italians to hug a Chinese. And we know that Russia was accused of being racist for closing borders with China. So was that really Dr. Tedros's idea, or was he just told to say that? And is he just being made a scapegoat for this? On March the 20th, he praised the Chinese regime, saying, for the first time, China has reported no domestic COVID-19 cases yesterday. This is an amazing achievement, which gives us all reassurance that the coronavirus can be beaten. China has been accused of significantly downplaying its official virus cases, with some estimates suggesting that their death toll could be as high as 40,000. But so far, China has officially recorded more than 81,000 cases, with just over 3,300 deaths. Well, that is just not believable, is it, that they have had only 3,000 deaths. When you look at the numbers in Iran, you look at the numbers in Italy, you look at the way that it's shooting up here in Britain. But even if they had said how many deaths that they were getting, do you think the West would have closed its borders to China? Britain still hasn't closed its borders to China. Britain is still accepting plane loads in. Activists in Wuhan, where the outbreak began, have claimed funeral homes are handing out 500 urns a day each, far more than necessary for the 2,548 people who have officially died of the virus there. I mean, they'll be able to give out them in less than a week, and they're still giving out these urns now. Long queues at the funeral homes have fueled scepticism about China's numbers, prompting the claims that 42,000 people or more could have died in Wuhan alone. Delay and deceit over the origins of the outbreak cost precious time, and many thousands of lives both in China and subsequently in the rest of the world. Skepticism about China's numbers has swirled throughout the crisis, fueled by official efforts to quash bad news in the early days and a general distrust of the government. A whistleblowing doctor who first alerted the rest of the world to the escalating crisis within Hubei province was sanctioned by medical authorities and police. Dr. Li Wenliang, who later died of the virus, was called in by both medical officials and the police and forced to sign a statement denouncing his warning as an unfounded and illegal rumour in early January. The health system in Wuhan, the city where three-quarters of China's victims died, was overwhelmed at the peak of the outbreak. Hospitals overflowed, patients with symptoms were sent home, and there were not enough kits to test everyone. At the time, some people in China asked on social media whether the reported death toll was inaccurate for those reasons. The posts have been deleted, probably victims of censorship. But we could see that they had a problem there. We knew that they had this virus. We knew that everybody in that wet market had caught the virus. We knew that even the fish in the wet market had caught it. We knew that this was airborne. We knew that it was extremely contagious. And yet, still, we didn't close the borders. I don't think it would have mattered how many deaths China told us about. We still would have kept the borders open. We still have the borders open now. Priti Patel had to ask Boris Johnson 2 weeks back, will you close the borders? And he refused. So our borders are still open now. So it wouldn't have mattered how many deaths that China told us about. We still wouldn't have done the right thing. Texican Republican Senator Ted Cruz also joined calls for the WHO to consider removing Tedros. His spokesman told the Washington Free Beacon, "The World Health Organization has consistently bent to the will of the Chinese Communist Party at the expense of global health and of containing the spread of the coronavirus, from downplaying the extent of the virus to systematically excluding Taiwan." Senator Cruz believes that the WHO has lost the credibility necessary for it to be effective, and a re-evaluation of its leadership is urgently called for. Florida's Marco Rubio also called for Tedros to be held accountable for the NGO's handling of the pandemic. The senator said, "Once this pandemic is under control, WHO leadership should be held to account. That includes Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who has allowed Beijing to use the WHO to mislead the global community. At this moment, Tedros is either complicit or dangerously incompetent. Neither possibility bodes well for his future at the helm of this critical organization." Well, I would suggest that, yes, he is incompetent, and you should have known that he was going to be incompetent in that role, a role that he was not suited for. Yet this narrative of diversity being a strength, globalism being wonderful, this is what has led to this. This is why you have somebody incompetent in such an important role. There are incompetent people in important roles all over the place, thanks to this diversity agenda. I wonder whether we have people similar to Dr. Tedros that are involved in the design for Boeing that have caused these problems. I wonder if we had similar diversity hires that were involved in that attempt at making some kind of spaceship a while back that killed people. Maybe there were diversity hires that were involved in the design for that bridge that collapsed and killed loads of people. We see all these supposed accidents happening everywhere, or incompetence happening everywhere. Why does it happen? It's because we don't put people in these important positions due to merit, due to their qualifications. We do it because of what color they are, what race they are. And then when something like this happens, they become the scapegoat. And really, it's our own fault for putting these people in these positions that they shouldn't be in. We're also looking at China as the scapegoat for this, not just Tedros, and actually talking about suing them for compensation. A British think tank has said that Western nations, where tens of thousands have died and whose economies have been damaged by the Chinese coronavirus, should sue the communist country for compensation. The neoconservative Henry Jackson Society released a report on Sunday that said that if China were found liable for failures in its initial response to the Wuhan origin pandemic and for intentionally withholding information from the rest of the world, a court could find Beijing in contravention of international treaties, and the communist country would be liable to the rest of the world to the tune of trillions of pounds. The report, Coronavirus Compensation, Assessing China's Potential Culpability and Avenues of Legal Response, said that for G7 members alone, lawsuits related to patent breaches of the international health regulations could be worth up to £3.2 trillion. Individually, the United Kingdom could have a claim in damages worth $351 billion, the United States $933 billion, Canada $47 billion, and Australia $29 billion. China's early handling of the deadly respiratory disease, which resulted in the virus spreading rapidly outside of the Hubei province capital, and the communist government's failure to abide by its obligation to inform the World Health Organization, is in contravention of Article 6 and 7 of the International Health Regulations, of which China is a signatory. Well, China's not responsible for the borders with the other countries, is it? We're the ones responsible for closing our borders. They're just looking for a scapegoat here. And the real reason for all of this is just this insane mantra of diversity being a strength, which leads to globalism, which leads to the elevation of the economy above the people. And we're now in a situation where we are having to rely on China for things like masks and tests which are being sent to us that are contaminated, tests that aren't fit for purpose. Just a quick quote from another news story here. The British government has ordered millions of coronavirus tests made in China that do not work, Public Health England's Professor John Newton has admitted. Professor Newton, the government's new testing chief, said that while some of the Chinese tests could identify immunity in those who had been very sick, all of the tests had failed the minimum thresholds set for the trials. They are not good enough to be worth rolling out in a very large scale, he said. And this comes on top of faulty masks, tests contaminated with the coronavirus, that the probes that people have to put up their noses, they've actually already got the virus on there. And why is this happening? Because we shipped all our manufacturing over to China. We thought, well, we'll just rely on these other countries to provide these essential products that we're going to need. And now we need them for ourselves, and the general public are having to pay £65 for a dust mask that would have cost £2 2 months back. And our economies are destroyed because of this globalist idea that we couldn't close the borders with China. So it really wouldn't have mattered how many dead China told us that they had. They still would have kept the borders open. I can only hope that Boris Johnson gets through this and realizes what a stupid mistake he made to not close the borders with them. And that people realize that you can't blame Dr. Tedros for this. The people to blame are the ones that put him in that position. All you have to do is look at the IQ map of the world and see the country where he came from to know that he was not qualified to be leading the World Health Organization. And it is believable that it was incompetence that caused this, rather than him being in cahoots with the Chinese. But of course, it would have been racist to put somebody white in there, wouldn't it? It would have been racist to put somebody in there who was actually qualified to do the job. But that's what we need to be doing. We need to have things based on merit, and we need to get back to living in tune with the rest of the natural world, living in tune with the rest of the natural order, living with our extended families. That's what the nation is. It's your extended family. That's the way things work. Birds of a feather flock together. You mix all the peoples together. You mix together peoples that have different ideas of what is right and what is wrong, and you mix together all the different diseases that they have. And you end up living in a hellhole that people don't want to be living in, where their daughters are at risk of being groomed, their sons are at risk of being beheaded, and their elderly are at risk of catching deadly viruses that originated on the other side of the world. All of this is caused by multiculturalism and this absurd elevation of diversity to being some kind of virtue, when it's not. It's division. Tells us in the Bible, a house divided against itself will not stand. And our civilization is collapsing at the moment because it has ignored that. Let's hope that this is the last lesson that we need to learn before we change our ways, because I dread to think what's going to come next if we don't. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.